If parenthood came with a GPS, it would most likely just say recalculating. Join Yolandi Becker and her guest experts Wednesdays at 11 a.m. for Bump and Beyond, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And just like that, it's another show today. And if you've just joined me, yes, you are on 101.9 High FM. This is Bump and Beyond. And as always, we're talking parenting. Parenting, parenting, parenting. I always say, like, someone else said it this week for me. It's like, small kids, small problems, big kids, big problems. which is, I feel like, appropriate, because I think as your kids, it changes the parenting game as your child is getting bigger. I think with small children, when you're in it, it's hard. It's really hard in the beginning. I think because a lot of it is also getting used to it. Also, obviously, if your kid is 3 months old, a month in their life is like a third of their life. And when they're 10 years old, you know, a month in their life becomes a smaller part of the bigger picture. And I think that's the words of a wise 41-year-old. A month in my life is a blip. but it is, yeah, it's interesting. And parenting comes with its challenges, most definitely. And one of those challenges, and I think more and more I see it these days, is when it comes to having the boundaries for our children. And I mean, it's very interesting because I read an article about this as well recently. It's a while ago, where they were talking about our parents, when they grew up, it was, you know, moms were at home and dads were working, but already then, it was not, you know, like, not a lot of attention was given to children. Let me say it like that. Children were raised by other people lots of the times, the school's problem or the nanny's problem, all sorts of things like that, or the mom's problem, when the dads were very little bit involved in everything. And then the next generation, us now, our parents, then I shifted a little bit. Lots of moms started working as well. But there were still lots of moms taking care. So it was a little bit more care was given. Then it's my generation of parenting, where it's a lot more dads and moms are involved in the parenting process. And I think it's even that shift is happening even more and more and more and more, where parents are involved. And in all honesty, sometimes I feel we're too involved. And I think it's sometimes difficult to have that balance. But in the same breath, I mean, attachment parenting is constantly where you're like, you have to worry about your child's mental well-being. And again, I see it in my own practice when I'm helping parents to sleep, where they think so much about the child's mental well-being, where sometimes they compromise the child's physical well-being, they're co-sleeping with the child, which is great, but you have to remember, if you're co-sleeping with the child, you have to do it safely. Now, the adult bed is not made for babies, and it can be dangerous to have your child, especially when they're older. And then I would say to the mom, and I say exactly that to the parents, and they're like, yo, he's fallen out of the bed 3 times already. And then I'm like, so you know that it's physically dangerous for your child to be there, but you would rather not worry about that, because at least then the emotional. So, and I think that's where discipline sometimes becomes tricky for us, is that it's that fine line, because often if you say discipline, and that's why I've only said discipline now, and didn't say discipline or anything I said, I said boundaries about it, because often when you say discipline, we think of our teachers that we hate and our parents that made all these rules when we were growing up and all these things. And that's kind of our thinking when it comes to discipline and things like that. But the reality is that children don't know best. Even if you think of yourself, and I mean, you are very full of yourself if you think you know everything, even as an adult. You know, it's like, I constantly tell people that they're like, oh, I'm struggling to get my weight down and I'm not sleeping well and all these things. And then I'm like, you know what to do. You should exercise, eat better, and drink less coffee, drink less alcohol. It's like we all know it. Very few of us actually do it. So even adults struggle to do life. I also don't want to say the right way, because who knows what is the right way, but you get what I'm saying. So even us, we struggle to create discipline and boundaries for ourselves. How do we think that our children know how to do it and expect them to child-led weaning or child-led doing something, and they're just going to know what is right and wrong and what is dangerous and what is not? It is our responsibility as parents to create that. And it creates safety for them. But I'm not the expert. I'm now again like nicely climbing on the soapbox here this morning. But joining me today to talk about discipline and how we can do it nicely and get that balance right. Because in the same breath, you also don't want to be, you don't want to compromise certain things. And I understand that. You don't want to be the super strict and whatever authoritarian, I think is the word, type of parent. That's also not what you want. But in the same breath, we do have a role to play as parents. And helping me to talk about this today is, and she's been on the show before, is counseling psychologist and founder of The Parenting Partner. And actually, Fiona Doman, she has like a lot of talks on this as well. And a lot of things on The Parenting Partner that you have to enjoy. Fiona, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Yolandi. Really, I think it's a topic that everybody can relate to. Mm. And I think you already almost summarized it when you said there must be balance. Mm. It's not either or. It's not physical or emotional. You have to only, focus on one or the other. It's really to strike that balance that's comfortable for you and that makes sense for your child, but also your family.
No. And I love that. And I mean, even that... And that's why I always kind of reiterate on this fact that you have to remember it's a long game. And that's sometimes what you don't see is like, you will also go through phases, I feel, even that balance where, certain times with my son, he's now 13, almost 14, I have to rein in the strictness a little bit where then there's like a phase where he just has to realize again, no, you can't just do what you want to, because if you let him go too much, then he's okay for a bit. And then he's like, ooh, no one's doing anything. And then you have to rein in a little bit again. So it is also like sometimes I think the balance also, it's like, and also different ages. Certain ages you have to be a little bit more with certain things and then you can let go with other things again. And that's also, so the balance is not always... every day kind of balance. There is also balance in that, finding what works and what doesn't work. But I do think it's also a long game. So to start off our whole discussion, I think we also just have to say, what is the difference? Because I also think when it comes to discipline, we always think punishment and horrible things like that. What is the difference between discipline and punishment? It's not the same thing.
No, not exactly. I think the thing is, we all know punishment, because I think also when we grew up, parents made use of punishment quite a lot, more than what parents do now. So it's not wrong. I think if that makes sense and you maybe also introduce just general boundary setting, discipline, then you can use punishment now and again. To a certain extent, but punishment is almost a form of discipline. So punishment usually has a connotation with something negative. So either you give something negative after the child has done something, or you take something positive away from the child. But the child experiences it mostly as negative, you can say. It's also really related almost to strict rules. And if that rule is broken, there's specific consequences that's usually negative. It also goes hand in hand with things like, almost expressing your disapproval very sharply for what the child did wrong. Whereas with discipline, it's more or less, I see it as a standard that you put forth to the child, not a specific rule, but more standard. And there's a little bit more options around how you can navigate your own behavior. Of course, there's also consequences. With discipline, there's also consequences. But with discipline, I would also say the consequences are more directly related to the behavior. So if I can use an example just to paint a picture, it's like, for instance, let's say your toddler, your four-year-old, he's playing in your room and you can see that he wants to play with your jewelry box, for instance. Yeah. And you know the jewelry box can break easily and you know your four-year-old really doesn't understand it quite completely how fragile this thing is. Then, of course, you can warn the child. And I think with discipline also, you will warn the child and you will say, don't play with it, you know, or play safely or whatever. Or you will put forth a limit with discipline and with punishment at the end. But then if the child maybe goes on to break that jewelry box, with punishment, people can react maybe with shouting and they can make the child feel bad for not listening and send them to their room, for instance, to go and sit there now or in the corner for 10 or 20 minutes. Where with discipline, you will take the child and you will say, still, see, now it broke, my heart is sore, or I'm disappointed now. But now you will have to help me to try and put it back together, or you will have to help me clean up the pieces. So the consequences are more related to what was done
directly.
Yes. So I think that's the main two differences. Or the child experience punishment as very negative.
Yeah.
And then also the consequences where it's related to the behavior.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Yes, welcome. You are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting. And today I'm actually talking to the founder of the Parenting Partner. And she's a counseling psychologist, Fiona Doman. And we're talking about, I feel, a subject that parents often struggle with, and it's difficult to find your mojo with it as well. And it's, I think sometimes because it can be so tricky, especially when we're talking, you know, toddler discipline and them starting. I think with older children, I was just saying off air to Fiona as well, like after years and years, and I mean, my kids are now, my son is turning 14 soon. My verbal first warning is already just a look. That's how I start the warning system. It's my kids are something and I just have to look at them a certain way. And then they already know, okay, I better readjust. And I mean, fortunately, I don't know. They still sometimes take chances when the look happens and then a verbal warning needs to happen. And then there may be a consequence depending on it, maybe a punishment. I like taking away screen time. That's my favorite thing to do. It's a punishment a little bit for myself also sometimes though. but it is interesting, but especially with smaller children, I think now again, I'm already practiced a little bit in it. It's been years and years and years I've been doing it. So maybe I'm also a little cocky for no reason. It's just out of experience already. And I'm not at all. I think lots of times I still get it wrong. And that's why these things are also good reminders, even just for me. But the reality is, and I also say this to my parents that I help with toddler sleep, because obviously when often when children are not sleeping at a certain age, discipline does come to play a part in it as well. And it is because parents struggle with it. It becomes difficult, especially if your child is feisty. And I mean, when they're not sleeping, tantrums can be even more so a reality. Of course, as always, I do want you to be part of the conversation. So if you have any input or you have any questions, please do send us a WhatsApp on 061-895-1019. But because it's such a difficult thing, we've now talked about what's the difference between what's boundaries and punishment, and you have to, or discipline and punishment, because I do think that's also that you need to distinguish between the two. If we're talking about discipline, we're not talking about you need to punish your child and you need to be super strict and things like that. That's not at all, but there needs to be boundaries in place. Fiona, why do you think it's so important, especially with young children, that we have these boundaries.
Yeah. So boundaries, I always see it as not really to keep a child in one space, you know, or to hinder their development, but it's actually to help them with their development so that they can go and explore in a safe environment, you know.
Yeah.
So as with, first and foremost, I want to say that boundaries, of course, is there or are there to keep your children safe. And I think safety is very important. But in the long run, if you talk about the long game, you also want your child to become an independent person at the end that can make their own decisions.
Mm.
So, of course, yeah, from, I would say, 18 months to 3 years, children will become more aware that they are separate from you and that they can make their own decisions or they have their own will. And you want them to know that, because at the end, that will help them to make good decisions for themselves, you know, and to set boundaries for themselves and their personal space as well. But they do not have that capacity really to understand consequences yet. So when they are very small, you really have to show them what the boundary is. And of course, through consequences, they have to learn why it is a boundary.
Yeah.
So, of course, it helps with that process of development just to keep them safe, but in the long run also that they know and feel confident with their own decisions, why they make decisions, what their own boundaries are in a personal manner or physical manner, really just to become responsible people.
Yeah.
That's the long and the short of it.
And I mean, I really also, and I think that for me is also the important, I mean, it is from a safety perspective, it is important, especially with small children. But I mean, when we talk about safety, we also want to talk about the emotional safety of boundaries. And I think that's where it's also important for parents to be consistent when mm-hmm. they're enforcing these behavior as well, because I think that's where parents struggle the most is like mm-hmm. they have this boundary that they've now created. Let's say, for instance, we're not eating sweets as part of dinner, as part mm-hmm. of the boundary. And then this child just goes into this haywire like tantrum. And then they're like, okay, well, if you eat this much food, then you can get a sweet type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So thinking they're compromising on the boundary, but in essence, they've broken the boundary in some ways. Mm-hmm. And I think that is also that inconsistency in the baby behavior. Sometimes I also feel is important for parents to understand that to create that safety and security for children, it is also important to be consistent, but as much as the time as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Not possible all the time.
No, it's not. It's not always possible, but I think consistency is also, you know, you have to do it more times than not so that there is a pattern that is established and
yeah.
your child is more certain of one consequence as opposed to another.
Yeah.
So most of the time he knows this is not going to happen. You know, and this is what we are trying to achieve here. This is the rule, because that will help them to feel more safe. The environment becomes more predictable. And with that, actually, the tantrums will get less and less.
Yeah.
So it's actually also to help yourself, in a sense, if you can push through and stick to those boundaries that you are setting.
Yeah.
In a consistent manner.
Yes, no, and I agree with that. If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 Chai FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolande Becker. And we're talking parenting. Specifically, I'm speaking to Fiona Doman. We're talking about toddler discipline and why it's important. What's the difference kind of between this punishment and discipline and all those things? But now I really want to get to more the nitty-gritty stuff, Fiona, as well. For me, I think a very common thing that I literally this week, someone on a mom's group that I am on was asking about her toddler that's biting and hitting and things like that. There is like, though, it's not abnormal behavior. And parents are completely freaked out when their child is doing this, like, What is seen as normal development? And when should you be worried when your child is hitting someone?
Yeah. So I think first and foremost, the parent must know their child and they must know when things changed a lot or it's a new behavior, and then you have to try and find why this is becoming a problem. No. So is there maybe something else that's bothering the child, or, you know, is there another frustration for the child, and this may be just this brother or sister? No. Sometimes it's really related to needs also, because young children are really need-driven. And if they do not get their needs met, they will get frustrated, and they will let you know that through screaming or, you know, physically attracting attention almost. So I would always say, do your research, know your child, what is age appropriate or developmentally appropriate. But I think also look at the needs of the child, and just basic things like, when does it happen? Is it maybe because the child is hungry or tired or overstimulated? Sometimes that can just trigger those behaviors. But then I would also say, of course, when you really feel like overwhelmed and you really don't know what to do and nothing seems to work, and it's now affecting almost your connection with the child. You feel irritated, or you feel like, no, I can't handle this child. And it's starting to influence your relationship with that child. Then it's definitely time to also get some help. But also, I would say, if it's also influencing the child's natural development or functioning. So say, for instance, the child is doing it so often that you have to now, you can't socialize with other children anymore, because socialization is very important for the child. Mm. But now you can't really take him to the park or wherever because he's so aggressive or he's becoming frustrated too easily. And of course, also if it's influencing the broader family or the classroom, then it's also time to get help. But of course, I would say once off or here and there, and it's not a pattern, that's not really worrisome. But I think if it becomes a pattern or it's totally out of character for the child, then you should probably, it's a warning sign.
Oh, and I even remember with my own son, like at one point, I mean, he would hit a little bit, like, and I mean, it was also, I always said, like, then he would, like, it was almost as if when he got too excited about something or too, like, it was almost like this emotion was, you could see the emotion. And it could be different emotions, because obviously it could be anger sometimes. And sometimes it would be just excitement. And then he would just be, like, hitting something, it seemed like, out of excitement. Not all the time, but you could almost, like I said, see how this, and again, a reminder that toddlers are emotional beings, very much so. And that's why they need us to co-regulate. They need us to be the calm in the storm, and to, because they are absolutely emotional thinkers. And I remind parents often about this emotional things. I mean, most of us can remember the first time we fell in love or whatever, when we were 16 and whatever, and the stupid things you did in the name of love. But because that emotion completely overpowered your logical thinking. And that's exactly how this emotional thing sometimes overpower your toddler's thinking. There's no logical thinking with a toddler. They don't think logically. Mm-hmm. And those emotions, especially when they're so new, absolutely overpowers their logic. And they're very selfish little creatures. They just care about their own stuff, which can be, like, hard for us as parents to understand as well. So don't be surprised. Most adults don't have control over their emotions. I mean, there's still people in the name of love that do inappropriate things. We saw at Coldplay concerts and stuff like that. So in the end of the day, there's still adults who don't have control over their emotions. So it is important to remind yourself of that, and that is why we have to. But on that note as well, what are some age appropriate ways that we can then, maybe we should first say, because I always say, like, you can't expect them to follow the rules if they don't know the rules. What are some of the boundaries you should have for toddlers? Should you have a lot of rules? What is that, and how can we then enforce them with toddlers?
Yeah, I think safety, of course, is first and foremost. And I think with little children, like, let's say, for instance, between 1 and 2, because naught to one, they sometimes they can't even move, like by themselves, you know, walk and stuff like that. But I think when they start to crawl up until 2 years, I think it's important to look after their safety and to start to set those boundaries just in terms of personal space, personal belongings, you know, not hurting other things or animals or even objects or themselves. So it's all safety bound. But I would say then it's very important to be very firm with saying no, so that they understand this is not what we are doing. No, you can't do that. You can't touch that. And then for those small children, sometimes all that you have to do is you have to physically remove them, or you have to take the distraction or the whatever, the thing away. So sometimes I think when they are so small, they wouldn't be able to understand in any case your actual
thoughts. If you have a whole discussion now.
So just be very firm. Tell them no, so that they know, definitely no. It's not right, with an assertive voice. So you don't have to be aggressive. You just have to be assertive so that they can hear that change in tone maybe a little bit, that you are serious, and then you can remove them or you can remove the obstacle. I think from 3 years more or less, it's important to express what they are doing or trying to do, more so than the emotions that they are feeling. You know, I definitely feel that children must start to learn the emotional words also for what they experience. But I think 3 is also still small. So I would say rather than express what they are trying to do. So for instance, you really want to touch the flower. Let me show you how we can touch delicate flowers. Then you can show them. So guide them a little bit more. Don't just remove the obstacle, because now they have to learn how to do certain things. So also talk them through and show them, but more based on what they are doing and experiencing. And then I would say, from end of 3, 4, 5 years, then it becomes more important to also let them understand their feelings. So then you can start to say, you are very frustrated now, I understand. And then you can help them through that process. But sometimes it's also fine just to ground them first, to hold them or to touch them or to turn them around away from the thing that they that is causing the frustration. Just ground them a little bit. And then after they are calm, then you can talk to them a little bit more, from 4 or 5 years. So then it's not only safety anymore, but then it's also just respect for belongings and stuff like that also that becomes important.
I also a good reminder of soft on the feelings, hard on the boundary.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Yes, if you've just joined me, you're on 101.9 Chai FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And if you've only just joined me, you've missed most of the show, and it was a good one. We're talking about toddler discipline and the importance of having boundaries for our children, why it's important to have those things, and of course, also talking a little bit of how you can do it and what you need to worry about, because sometimes But I think it's in lots of things with life. It's one extreme to the other extreme. We struggle sometimes to find the balance. And I think as parents, we're also way too hard on ourselves. Remember that this show is all about helping you to learn and grow. And again, I want to remind you, just because I maybe sound like I can do this quite often and well and whatever, You're not. You're never, ever. I've had those moments where I snap 100%, where I do not react in the right way. And then later I'm like, yes, that was horrible. That was really not a good place. And I mean, sometimes my son will tell me this is not okay or whatever, because he's now obviously old enough to tell me. And other times I can also reflect back and say, I do not know how I managed to stay calm in that situation, where I'm very impressed and proud of myself of how I managed to do it. But with toddlers, it is different. The older your child becomes, it's our job to help them, to teach them how to regulate themselves and how to take care of themselves and be independent people. That's obviously the goal of parenting, if you haven't realized it by now. But in the beginning, lots of those, that regulation does come from us. And that's sometimes, I think, when they have these tantrums where it can go haywire a little bit. So what Fiona, and if, again, if you've just joined me, don't stress. Or this will be available as a podcast on highfm.com afterwards, so you can go listen to it. But my guest today is Fiona Doman. She's a counseling psychologist and the founder of The Parenting Partner. She really has lots of like talks and things on various topics parenting. So please go have a look at her pages as well. But now I'm talking about those meltdowns, Fiona. How can you stay consistent? Because that's, I think, with small children. And it, again, it's not overnight that this changed. Just like it, honestly, the other day I was so proud when my son finally, after 13 years, said thank you and please do something. So it takes a while for them to learn the skill, of course, as well. And just like that, it also doesn't necessarily come naturally to you as a parent. Where you're going to stay calm and consistent every single time, and you get better at it. You do. Don't worry. You will get better at it if you practice it. But how can we help parents to stay when this kid is having, and especially in places like a Woolworths? Or maybe Woolworths is easier to stay calm because then other people are looking and then you're in your better behavior. And at home, it's maybe easier to have a feeling. How can we help parents?
Yeah, so I think, again, is to maybe just understand where it's coming from for your toddler and to remind yourself of the intention of the toddler. The intention is not to irritate you or to be difficult. It's really to get a need communicated in most circumstances. Né? So I think to remind yourself of the intention of the child. Sometimes they don't even have an intention. They just go on, I feel frustrated now. But also, I think sometimes just a phrase that you can repeat for yourself can help. Né? So also, like with children, we have to keep it simple. And I think sometimes with us also, there's a lot of information coming from social media and everywhere. So you feel like you have to tick all the boxes in every situation. But sometimes just something simple, like the one that I really like is to remind myself of is, you can either do it in a stressful manner or a calm manner, but it will be done.
I like that. That's a good one. I'm going to steal that. Solid.
So that's just like, okay, I have to set this boundary. I can either do it in a calm way or I can do it in a stressed and like dramatic way. So sometimes if you just remind yourself of that choice, it helps. And then also to remind yourself that you are actually in control in this situation. Your child is looking for you, to you, for that control. So don't feel bad about it, to take control in that situation. I think sometimes you think about, okay, validating emotions and all of that. But sometimes just to keep it structured in that moment and predictable for the child is already a win. Yeah. So sometimes you have to, you know, take your child and tell them, like, for instance, let's say, for instance, you want to get into the car and the child doesn't want to leave a place or whatever. Yeah. Then you can actually pick up your child while they are screaming and just repeat a phrase like, we have to go now. You can help mommy and make it easier, but we are going to leave. You understand? So make it clear. Communication is clear, assertive, and you can sometimes do it physically.
Yeah.
But of course, sometimes also it will help just to take a pause. Sometimes if you can get out, let's say at home the child is having a tantrum, then it helps to just remove yourself if the child is safe from that situation for a while, to leave the room. It usually works to go outside where there's fresh air. And then you can just, like, it needn't be long, but that break usually helps a lot to just rewire your brain a little bit. And then you can go in, and I always say, start with grounding. Go down to the child's level, touch the child. Because sometimes they just feel out of control. You know, now they are feeling out of control outside because something is happening that they don't like, and from the inside because their body is reacting in a specific way. So sometimes just that physical touch can also help them. Sometimes you have to take them out outside as well to have that little bit of a break. But then, of course, with co-regulating, you can again repeat something like, maybe a choice in that situation can help if the child is a little bit older, like 4 or 5. You can say, okay, you can sit and breathe, or you can run around maybe in the yard to catch your breath. And then when you feel calmer, you can come and sit and we can talk about what just happened. You understand? Yeah. So I think, but it also relates to the child's age.
Again. Yeah.
But of course, that phrases, the simplicity, you know, a structured approach, that usually helps. And to remind yourself that you are still, even if you do not feel that way, you are in control.
Yeah. And I mean, I think sometimes for parents, it can be scary to know that you can have an impact. But in the same breath, in practice makes perfect. Not perfect. You're never going to be perfect. But in the end of the day, it can be helpful to know that, be aware of the fact that you can be in control.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Ah, I cannot believe it. Just like that, another show has come to an end. It was a good one. We were talking about toddler discipline. Ah, and the importance of it, what you can do as a parent as well. And it's been really wonderful. If you've missed it, I was speaking to counseling psychologist and founder of the Parenting Partner, Fiona. Thank you so much, Fiona, for joining me.
Yeah, and thanks
really
for having me.
Great to have you. Just before you go, please just tell people where they can reach you.
Yeah, so they can go to my website. It's fiona.doman or Fiona Counseling Psychologist. They can search it. Google will pick it up. Or they can just follow the social media at the Parenting Partner. And there they will find my contact details and everything. So I think they can,
easily find you.
Yeah.
We were just saying that one of my clients that's remotely living, she's not in Pretoria or Joburg, contacted you, mm-hmm. and you are helping. So just FYI, she is available online. Thank you so much, Fiona. It was really great chatting to you. Until next time, because I'm very sure there will be a next time.
Okay. It will be a pleasure, as usual.
And just like that, like I said, another show is coming to an end. And it was nice. Again, if you have to, if you want to go listen to the show, you can go listen to it on highfm.com, the podcast. This show and all of my shows are available as a podcast. So please do go look at all of those things. If you have something specific you want to talk to or about, or want me to talk to an expert about, please do send me an email on yolandi@goodnightbaby.co.za. It's Yolandi with a J, which is strange. I know. Or you can just also DM me on social media, on Instagram, Yolandi Becker. Follow me. I do not talk a lot about parenting, though, on my page. I only talk about running. But that's also great. But you can send me a DM and come and listen to that and interact with me. I would love to know a lot more about you. Next week is Breastfeeding Awareness Week, if you didn't know. I didn't. I would have found out only recently. And of course, I'm going to talk breastfeeding. And I'm talking to a dietitian and lactation consultant, Natasha Willefier. She's also been on my show quite a lot. And of course, we're going to talk about breastfeeding. So if you have any questions or something, you can, of course, send those to me as well. It's wonderful. And please remember that sometimes we get parenting right. Sometimes you're not going to get it right. And take the times where you don't get it 100% right as the learning opportunities. It does. I mean, I really, like things that I think about when my kids were 3 and 4 that I struggled with comes a lot more naturally to me now. Doesn't mean everything is. I'm learning all the time. And that's what parenting also makes it so nice. We're constantly learning, growing. They also learn and grow from us. It surprises me sometimes. Which is also, it must have come from somewhere, as I'm taking the credit for it. But where my kids know me, they could almost instantly, when they get into the car where they pick them up from school, they know kind of my mood and things like that already. And it's nice to see them and see them grow and learn those type of skills as well. So they can, they also sometimes like, it looks like you had a tough one today. And then they also try to cheer me up, or they just acknowledge the fact. And that already is sometimes for me awareness. And then I'm like, oh, let me just suck it up type of thing. So it is nice to see that. So again, think about it and grow out of it, and don't be too hard on yourself if you don't always get it right. None of us do. One of the greatest gifts you can give your child is the example of kindness. So be kind, not only just to others, but also to yourself. Because there's more than enough people that's going to be hard and going to say crap about you. So you don't need to add to that conversation. Be kind to yourself. Thank you so much for joining me today. Until next time, enjoy your day.